Hello and welcome to the first podcast for SearchCompliance.com. My name is Alexander Howard. I'm the associate editor for SearchCompliance.com. On me on the call today is Dr. William Yasnov, a well-known national leader in health informatics and the founder and managing partner of National Health Information Infrastructure Advisors, which is a consulting firm that helps organizations develop health information infrastructure systems and solutions. Dr. Yasnov wrote into SearchCompliance.com on a recent tip describing the boost to healthcare compliance that may be received from a national Health and Human Services privacy framework that was recently announced. We're so glad to have him on the call with us today.
Glad to be here.
So with respect to the tip that we sent out discussing a new directive, the focus of the tip was that this new framework that Health and Human Services has put out may have actually extended the privacy mandated by HIPAA. And you forcefully said that that was not the case. Can you talk a bit more about why that is, what the framework means, and what HIPAA does not do in that context?
Sure. I think the privacy framework that was just introduced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has recognized that it's very important for individuals to be able to control how their health information is used, who sees what parts of it for what. And this has been developing over some time because there's a clear public understanding that as we move from paper records to electronic records, thereby making records more available for good and wonderful purposes, we also simultaneously make records more available for evil and nefarious purposes, and therefore they have to be protected more carefully. Now, the basis of legal protection for records is HIPAA, as you mentioned, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, and specifically the privacy rule that was issued by HHS after Congress failed to meet their own deadline for passing a privacy law. And then they gave the authority to HHS. Now, HIPAA is generally believed by most people to protect the privacy of your medical records. But it's a little more complicated than that. And so let me go ahead and explain that. What HIPAA says is that your records cannot be released to anyone without your consent, except, and these are important, three important exceptions, except for treatment, payment, and healthcare operations. So the idea is that if you require treatment, your records can be accessed without your consent. In order to generate payment for your treatment, they can be accessed without your consent. And for healthcare operations, and I will say in the privacy rule, healthcare operations is defined. The problem with this is, sounds very reasonable, actually. The problem is, who decides whether a given disclosure of your information falls into these three categories of treatment, payment, and operations, sometimes called TPO to abbreviate them? Whoever has your information decides, and it's their exclusive decision. And in making the decision, they do not have to tell you that they are making the decision. And here's the worst thing. Once the entity that has your information has decided that a given disclosure fits into the TPO categories, and they go ahead and make the disclosure, there is no requirement that they keep any record of that disclosure. So, obviously, most holders of health information can be trusted, and they will follow the rules, and they will only disclose your information for legitimate treatment, payment, and operations reasons. But if I'm an unscrupulous holder of information, and XYZ marketing company comes to me and wants your information, and I unilaterally decide that this is part of healthcare operations, at least it is for me, and I give them the information, I do not have to keep a record, and so there is no way you can ever find out where your information went. And this is really a big loophole and needs to be fixed.
Going to that point, for a compliance officer at a healthcare company, whether it's a clinic or a hospital or a managed provider, whatever it happens to be, someone who's trusted with securing patient healthcare information, or PHI, that which you just described essentially is an audit hole, because you're describing the way that information can flow out in a way that's not documented.
Correct.
How could or how should a compliance officer change their IT infrastructure or adjust their best practices to deal with that audit hole, especially if it becomes closed in the next year or two?
Well, I think you can anticipate that this hole is going to be closed, but even if you don't think that's going to occur, I think any compliance officer would want to ensure that in their system all disclosures have an audit trail, even though it's not required, and to make absolutely sure that there are records and that the decision making for disclosures without consent under the treatment, payment, and operations exceptions are clearly documented, and there are written operating procedures around those, so that the compliance officer himself or herself can audit what's going on and provide assurance to others that the rules are really being followed.
Now, you just actually spoke to the fact that compliance rules will be changing, and as we record this, we're within a week of the new administration coming in for the U.S., and it's quite true that e-health and the electronification, if you will, of health records has been a major focus of incoming president on his campaign. How do you expect the atmosphere to change around compliance, and what do you expect the requirements to be for compliance officers in the years ahead?
I'd like to give a little background on this, but let me answer your question first and then fill in some of the background. The president-elect has stated that he strongly believes in a constitutional right to privacy. As you say, there's a strong interest in electronic records. There's been an indication that the economic recovery plan that soon will presumably will be passed by Congress will include some substantial sums of money, perhaps tens of billions of dollars, to accelerate health information technology. I think that the president-elect and his team, the transition team, all recognize that protecting privacy is essential for the reasons that I mentioned, not to mention the fact that they strongly believe in privacy, in order to reassure folks that when their information is electronic, it will not be subject to a willy-nilly disclosure. So I think that it is highly likely that there will be some additional privacy requirements tied to monies that are appropriated in the economic recovery plan. I think you can expect that this audit hole, as you described it in HIPAA, will be closed. I think you can also expect that there will be a new requirement for encryption of medical information that is sent over the internet, and also encryption of medical information at rest in any portable device, in a laptop or USB drive. I don't expect that there will be a requirement for encryption of medical data in a secure data center. So I don't think that will change. And these requirements that I'm mentioning are really part of the HIPAA security rule. So I think you can expect those changes. I would like to say a couple of things, though, about the background, and that is this. Obviously, the president-elect faces this huge economic crisis that we all know about. And healthcare costs have been a problem for some time, but in an economy that's growing or is stable, rising healthcare costs, while a big problem, are presumably tolerable. In a really bad recession, rising healthcare costs become an emergency. And so I think the incoming administration is going to have to deal with rising healthcare costs. And without health IT, you don't really have good ways to deal with it, because you don't really know what's going on in the system. So while health IT initially does not appear to be a top agenda item for the president, by deduction from the economic crisis and the fact that healthcare reform is a necessity, I think that actually health IT does become very important. I think that's why he's been talking about it. And that is going to lead to these additional compliance requirements attached to these new appropriations.
Now, I should say that I read your op-ed in Business Week with some interest. I found your blog at yasnov.com and read through your comments on e-health and HIPAA and this audit hole. I'd just like to quickly quote from that, because there's something which I had not been tracking as closely as I could have. And it's this, and I quote, "The secret to gathering accurate records while preserving patient privacy is the software. It automatically pulls information from the databases of participating insurers, pharmacies, and other parties, and then stores it in password-protected digital files that only the employee can access. Walmart didn't dream up this software system on its own. It's the product of a not-for-profit enterprise called Dossia, funded by major corporations including Intel, AT&T, and Pitney Bowes, as well as Walmart itself. Each invested $1.5 million in the new company. The goal, says Dossia CEO Colin Evans, is simply to make healthcare more efficient. And starting this year, Intel and the other original equity partners plan to implement Dossia and market it to other companies." This brings focus to the fact that there are major corporate entities that are working to digitize and profit from the digitization of health records into electronic form. So if, when added to the incoming administration's proposals for electronic health records, the economic conditions that you just described and certainly our listeners are aware of, does that mean there's going to be considerable momentum to digitize these healthcare records using Dossia? And if so, what impact will that have upon compliance requirements, certainly with respect to standardization and privacy concerns?
I think Dossia is an example of what generically would be called a health record bank. And a health record bank is a data repository that, under your control, essentially holds on to copies of all your medical records and then releases them as you specify, either in total or in part, to whomever you wish, presumably to your providers. I think it's become clear, as people try to build health information infrastructure, that the health record bank solution, essentially putting the records in a place that is controlled by you so that you have a copy of all your records that you can dispose of and make available as you wish, is really an effective solution. And if you think about it, I suspect none of your listeners actually at this moment have access to all their medical records, nor do any of their providers. And so what the health record bank does is it creates a new healthcare institution that performs an essential function that no healthcare institution currently performs, namely making all your records available at any point of care. And the important thing is you have to have control over those records. Otherwise, ceding that control to some institution would be extremely uncomfortable. How would you construct an institution that was trusted to that extent? So I think that these types of activities, and two other examples are Microsoft Health Vault and Google Health, that also store your records, are going to become more and more common. The issue here is, how do you construct a health record bank that can really be trusted? And I think one of the problems that Dossia has is for the employees of those various organizations. They have to decide whether this organization that essentially is built and funded by their employer can really be trusted to hold all their medical records and not access them as they have promised. And so I think this is a real issue. Similarly, although, of course, Google and Microsoft are not only offering this presumably to their own employees, but to everyone, the issue again is, can those organizations really be trusted not to themselves access these medical records without your consent? And I think this is going to be the big issue as health record banks develop. One other issue that none of these current efforts address is that in order to have an effective electronic copy of your health records, all the records have to be electronic in the first place. And unfortunately, only a small minority, say 10 to 20% of physicians in this country, have electronic medical record systems. The reason they don't have them is because the economic benefits of those systems accrue to others in the healthcare system and not to the physicians for the most part. And so financial incentives for physicians are needed in order for them to acquire these systems that benefit others. And so part of the challenge for these health record banks is how to provide these financial incentives to physicians so that they will get electronic record systems so that everyone's records become electronic so that each person can have an account that they control where all those records are deposited.
In your response to the tip, which once again I wanted to appreciate because it's what brings us to the call today, you mentioned that the Electronic Communications Privacy Act actually puts forward stronger protections upon e-health records than HIPAA.
Sure.
Can you describe what the act is, that's ECPA, and what does it require, and essentially what a compliance officer or CIO must do to remain in compliance with the Communications Privacy Act?
Sure. The HIPAA has certain designates certain organizations as being covered, and they were called covered entities, so hospitals, health plans, physicians, etc. And a health record bank like Dossier or Google or Microsoft is not a HIPAA-covered entity. However, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act does cover some of those entities, and in particular, it covers any entity that provides a publicly available remote computing service. And so it's not limited to healthcare. This is in any domain. Anyone who provides a publicly available remote computing service is subject to the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. And just for reference, if people want to look it up, it's U.S. Code Title 18, Chapter 121, Sections 2701 and following. It's a very simple law. It says this with respect to privacy. If you are the provide a publicly available remote computing service that has subscribers, and as part of that service, the subscribers are storing information, you're storing it on their behalf, you may not release any or all of that information for any reason at any time to any private party without the consent of the subscriber, no exceptions. And so, in terms of e-health, for, let's say, Google, Google is offering Google Health, and it's clearly a remote computing service. It's clearly publicly available. And so if you store your health records of any kind with Google, under this federal law, Google may not release your information to any private party for any reason ever without your consent. So the difference is that HIPAA allows HIPAA-covered entities to release your information without your consent for treatment, payment, and operations, as I mentioned earlier. The Electronic Communications Privacy Act has no exceptions. So for those health record banks that are public, provide publicly available services, extending HIPAA to those entities, as some have proposed, would actually remove the strong privacy protections of the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. Again, the key is whether the service is publicly available. And so you notice I haven't mentioned Dossier. The Dossier folks might argue our service really isn't publicly available. It's only available to our employees, and that's an issue that would have to be decided by a court.
It seems for now that Dossier is saying it's available to the employees, but that consortium that's backing that nonprofit does indicate an interest in selling the system on a wider basis, and then that might change.
Let me make a quick comment on that, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this issue of selling information is an important one. And in terms of talking with many, many people about privacy of healthcare information and privacy in general, it seems that privacy complaints actually fall into two categories. One is the basic, this is my private information and I don't want other people to know about it, essentially preventing disclosure. But the other aspect of it, which I find is more common, is really when people complain because organizations take their information, their personal information, without consent, and the individuals know it's being sold, but they don't get any part of the benefit. And so I think, for example, this was really one of the main concerns that people had about the Beacon service on Facebook, that they knew that Facebook was going to use this information to make money, but they weren't getting any. And so I think it's really, really important to recognize the difference between someone who is complaining about their protecting their privacy because they really don't want the information disclosed, or they're simply making the argument that organization, if you're going to take my personal information and make money from it, then you need to share some of that money with me, and you need to, of course, ask my permission. And I think if organizations begin asking people permission and sharing the benefits with individuals, I think they'll find that people are much more willing to share personal information for specific purposes.
Now, speaking of personal information and certainly of privacy and what organizations are responsible for, what have you learned from your experience in setting up healthcare infrastructure specifically with respect to remaining compliant with existing laws around e-health?
Well, I think in HIPAA-covered entities, and I will say actually everyone that I've run into involved in setting up health information infrastructure is very concerned about protecting privacy and about complying with HIPAA. I think, however, there is a shift in attitude as reflected, again, in this new HHS privacy framework, that really what we need is consent from the individual with respect to how the information is going to be used. And I think more and more people are beginning to recognize this, and therefore what folks involved in compliance need to be thinking about is really how to manage consent. What kind of consent management systems are going to be needed in the future in order to record the preferences of your client base with respect to release of their information? Because clearly, I don't think anyone is advocating a situation where every time a piece of information is needed, you have to go back to the individual and ask them on a case-by-case basis. I think what really people want is they want the indication in advance that, yes, I'd like my health information to be available to any provider that I am going to for care. And so I will in advance make that designation. And I expect you as an organization to keep a record of that designation. Similarly, if I show up in an emergency room and I'm unconscious and a bona fide emergency physician wants my medical information, I want that person to have it. And so I would make that designation in advance. And so when you think about this from an implementation standpoint, what this means in an IT environment involved in healthcare is that you're going to need to plan and implement consent management so that you can keep a record of the consents you have on file, make sure all the requests for information are filtered properly by those consents, and allow your client base access to the consents and the ability to change them when they want.
Now that we're past the failed dot-coms and we're past the second internet bubble with Web 2.0, as that cycles down a bit right now, we're into something else that's a bit new, and people have been calling it Government 2.0, which is to say bringing a lot of the collaborative technologies that exist online that are impacting enterprises to government. It's something that certainly the president-elect's campaign demonstrated, and he's now brought to change.gov. How do you see the Department of Health and Human Services and the potential CTO for the U.S., whenever one becomes named, impacting e-health and certainly then driving down further compliance requirements, especially with the exchange of electronic health records?
I think that e-health implementation is primarily not a government function. It's probably a good thing because it's very difficult to implement information systems in the government context, as anyone who has done it or tried it knows. I think that the role of government in promoting e-health is really to set the rules and level the playing field. And in particular, I think there are two specific policy suggestions that I have made about things that the government could do. One is that this problem with HIPAA, that it really doesn't protect privacy, needs to be fixed because, in my view, the public will not tolerate having all the medical records converted to electronic form unless they are sure that their privacy is really protected and that those protections come with enforcement. And the enforcement of HIPAA, by any measure, has been quite lax. The other thing that needs to be fixed is that everyone's information needs to be available. And under HIPAA, each and every one of us has a right to request and receive a copy of our medical records. But there's a catch, and the catch is that your provider can charge you for that. And in a paper world, such a charge is essential because obviously copies must be made, and that's going to cost your provider money. However, making an electronic copy of an electronic record clearly does not involve a substantial marginal cost. And so in the electronic world, there needs to be a requirement that your electronic records are available to you or to be sent to a place you designate, say a health record bank, at no charge. And this is very, very important because otherwise you create a financial obstacle to people being able to aggregate their own medical records under their own control. So that's the other policy thing that needs to be done, and hopefully the new administration will be very involved in both of those activities.
Well, Dr. Yasnov, thanks so much for joining us today. Certainly, I think suspect you've given our listeners quite a bit to think about and worthwhile issues to dwell upon as look at healthcare compliance in 2009 and under a new administration. Appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was terrific. And look for this podcast to be up within the week.